The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, I'm Gina Thomas-Kelly from SB Nation.
And I'm Amir Tyree from DraftKings Nation.
And we're the hosts of Football Cheat Sheet, a brand new podcast that comes out every Friday and provides you with all the tools you need to win money and dominate your friends in fantasy this NFL season. Be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast platform. And if you have questions about fantasy football, DFS, or betting options for any given week, drop those questions along with a 5-star review, and we'll be glad to answer them on our next show.
All right. You know what? Let's start something off with something pro Falcons today, because you guys have a fun matchup this week. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on just before getting ready to record the show. We've seen that Taysom Hill is getting first team snaps for yes. the Saints over Jameis Winston. One thing which we'll talk about a little bit more at the end when we get to like lines, but everyone is taking the Falcons to win this game. So let's talk about just fantasy perspective of that, where you know, we know what Jameis Winston has done in his career versus the very small sample size we've seen from Taysom Hill, who is also an option as a tight end in some fantasy leagues. So
yes. Well, you know, one of the things that I find kind of interesting about the decision to let Taysom Hill get the start and potentially, you know, not really factor Jameis in is that I think that the last touchdown pass that Jameis Winston threw was to Falcons linebacker Deion Jones. And so that may be part of the reason. That said, I don't know why people are taking the Falcons to win this game. I don't know if they haven't seen the Falcons play this year or if they haven't seen the Saints play this year, but I picked the Saints to win this. I don't like it. I despise that team, but I just don't see a path for the Falcons to beat the Saints.
One thing that also has come into play, I'd be interested in that Falcons line if Alvin Kamara does not play. He's been he has been limited, so that could be part of why, but at least we'll see how much that line moves. But I know it opened when I was looking at it on Wednesday. It was Atlanta plus 175 and Saints 4-point favorites, and we'll talk a little bit about the betting splits later on in that. But is that something that you think it's worth rostering Jameis Winston to maybe come in and relieve Taysom Hill when things go downhill? Or you think they're just going to stick with the run, stick with like, you know, short passes, not like they've gone crazy stretching the field with Drew Brees. So it's, you know, I don't think they'd expect Taysom Hill to like take a bunch of shots down the field. But the accuracy thing comes into play, where, you know, you haven't seen enough to know if Taysom Hill is accurate. And we know what Jameis Winston's accuracy problem has been. But he got LASIK now, so who knows how amazing he could be. But
exactly. What I'm thinking that we've got to keep in mind is that Sean Payton is the same guy who called an onside kick to start the second half in a Super Bowl. Like, this is a guy who is constantly trying to game the system, trying to game his opponents. And I could completely see that this is all just a big smokescreen and he's going to let Taysom Hill come out and do the first offensive series and then Jameis takes over from there. So I would say, yeah, like if you're looking for a quarterback, I think that Jameis Winston is probably not a bad guy to have in your back pocket. Just because I think that he probably will end up getting a decent number of snaps.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like, as far as DFS wise, he could be like the super, I think at least, especially in like the GPPs where you have to those like higher price ones, people are going to really be scared of him. We know Atlanta can give up a lot of yardage through the air. It's really risky to do that. But then, you know, at the same time, it was like I said, I didn't want to touch Ronald Jones ahead of week 10. And then he runs to that 98 yard or so.
Career
high 192. So, you know, the super risky plays can definitely pay off.
That they can. And I mean, in this case, I just think that Taysom Hill is not a starting quarterback. That's not a knock on him. He's a gadget player who's been very successful in this New Orleans offense. But I just don't see him as the actual option for New Orleans.
We're both higher on Jameis Winston coming in than Taysom Hill.
Absolutely.
Okay.
My dogs are, you know, growling and wrestling here in the background. I think that they're agreeing with us.
Moving on to one of the games that everyone thinks is going to be a shootout, maybe a good amount of fantasy upside, is the Chiefs' chance at a revenge game against the Las Vegas Raiders, this time in Nevada. We saw the Seahawks-Cardinals game, we saw, let us down as far as like points, because the over-under for total points is set at 56.5. The same is the case for this Chiefs-Raiders game, which they combined for 72 the first time. What are we thinking about hitting that over-under again? For me, I think definitely the under, but the general public is overwhelmingly in favor of the over, at least on this one. So,
I think that I'm probably leaning toward the under too. The funny thing about this has been that, you know, Raiders fans are kind of seeing this as like their Super Bowl. And so I think the expectations are very high, but it's a pretty contentious divisional matchup. I think I'm gonna lean toward the under on this one.
Yeah, because you know I don't think Derek Carr can have that career game again. I don't know how many of you've been keeping up with him like week to week since then. They have rebounded and won three straight since getting blown out by the Buccaneers. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes on a tear, throwing for 9 touchdowns and no picks in his last 3 games, over 370 yards his past 2, and Derek Carr hasn't thrown for over 200 in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it was surprising that he was able to have like a career game the last time they faced him. But the Chiefs have been really pretty solid against the run and the pass this year, more susceptible against the run. Mm-hmm. And Josh Jacobs is way up there among the league leaders as far as carries go. So I'd say if anyone's going to carry them through this game, I think it would be more Josh Jacobs. I think the under is safer on that end. But yeah, the Chiefs guys have a ton of upside. They have really pivoted off that run game where Clyde Edwards-Helaire has pretty much disappeared since the arrival of Le'Veon Bell. They've got the healthy receiving core for the most part, despite Mecole Hardman being on the COVID-19 list. But yeah, he's spreading around. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill both had 2 great weeks. So if you wanted to have a really high price stack, I think that'd be a good one to look at. But I think the Chiefs carry most of the scoring load. Yeah, and this one, then and, you know, maybe they go to the ground toward the end. But I don't see this being a close game with both teams kind of like evening out on the score. I definitely don't think the Raiders put up 40 plus again.
Mm-mm. No, I think that you're right. And so it should be an interesting one, but yeah, I'm still leaning toward the under on that one.
And then another one is we have the Packers going up against the Colts. The Packers, when all healthy, they've been amazing as far as having all their top wide receivers. Alan Lazard is finally back off the IR. He was dealing with that core injury. He went crazy on the Saints and I can't remember if it was week 2 or 3, and then immediately went on the IR after that game. So with all their guys healthy, they've been great. But they're going against the probably most surprising defense in the NFL this year. Indianapolis Colts have been, they're like top 3 against the pass and the run. What do we think about just the upside of, you know, Davante Adams? Is anytime you face him, whether it's daily fantasy or season long, you're just like, oh, I know this guy's probably going to give them like 25 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Or more. But what do you think about like his floor and just like getting those Colts, getting those Packers guys together against the Colts? Or do you think the Colts hold? Because the Packers at full strength, remember, they're the highest scoring team in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. I was digging into some of the Colts defensive stats this week, and was genuinely impressed. That's a team that I haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot so far this year. And yeah, they have been really surprising. But you're still dealing with the Packers offense at full strength. I've got to give the edge to the Packers in this one. You know, also looking at the Colts division, they're not facing this caliber of offense on a regular basis. So yeah, I think that I'm going to still give the edge to the Packers.
Where are you on MVS now that Alan Lazard is back? Because he scored 3 touchdowns in the past couple. It seems like every catch he's made has essentially been a touchdown reason. Mm-hmm. That to keep an eye on, because he was a waiver wire target that I would say was picking up some steam ahead of week 11. But now seeing Lazard back is just like, I don't know how much they're going to throw him into the fire as far mm-hmm. as snap count and things like that, but maybe expect a dip down from him.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just being able to have Lazard on the field draws some attention from that secondary, and I think that creates more opportunities for MVS. So he is a guy that I would still definitely keep an eye on. I'm going to check out the price this week in DFS and see what he would set me back in DraftKings. But yeah, I think that just creates more opportunities potentially, especially if Lazard isn't back to full speed.
Yeah. And then one of the last things I want to talk about, who I had JD McKissick as my sleeper when we talked about last week. I think that the Washington football team is going to be a team to really keep an eye on these next, like, depending on how they do in week 11, I might come back to them and get a Washington's stack again in week 12, to be honest, because they kind of let me down in the end, but there's just so much upside in that offense from what I'm seeing, and Alex Smith being under quarterback throwing 55 passes the last time. I don't know if they necessarily play as many snaps, but he played more snaps than any quarterback in week 10, played 88 snaps and threw on 62% of his snaps. So
it's especially impressive considering that he was coming off of what might have been a career-ending injury. Like, it's mm-hmm. been really kind of amazing to see him step right back into that starting role and take on that kind of workload without, you know, any kind of hiccups or anything. We've talked about my affection for these Washington offensive players before. I've been having a really, really good experience this year with Terry McLaurin in my DFS lineup almost every week. And here lately, he's getting more consistent targets. And so that's a guy that I'm very likely going to add to my lineup again this week. And I love the idea of doing a Washington stack just because those players have not been that expensive and they have been very productive.
Well, yeah. Like, aside from Terry McLaurin, I could, and people have been high on Antonio Gibson, but McKissick especially, and Alex Smith are two people I have an eye on who could come in at DFS wise. I think they're going to be under 5% owned, mm-hmm. Both of them, which, like, when Alex Smith threw for 390, I was like, oh my, he's going to break the slate. I'm going to just fly. He didn't throw for a touchdown. He only has, but people are going to remain low on him. He's lower 5,000 on DraftKings. He threw for 390, and his last two games, he has 1 touchdown and 3 picks, which doesn't look great. But when you look at his next coming up in week 11, he's coming up against the Bengals, mm-hmm. who just gave Ben Roethlisberger on 2 bum knees his best game of the season. And then they have the Dallas Cowboys the week after that. So if you want, like, a short fix, if he's going to continue, because, yeah, he essentially threw for mid 300s and 3/4 when he came in after Kyle Allen went down. So mm-hmm. you look at that, and then JD McKissick, who he's been priced up a little bit since his last time out, has gotten 29 targets in his last two games. 29. Like, I didn't have the game live when I was watching all the games last time, but I just kind of, sometimes I just keep the play-by-play up on the side. And I was just, mm-hmm. like, watching his targets, like, pile up. So I had to, like, go back and look at them. If they hit on half of these, and just, like, they're, like, short screens up, and he's played close to 50 more snaps than Antonio Gibson in these past two games. So it seems like they really like him to pair it over Smith. You know, both of them went over 17 points on DraftKings last week. I think it's a little risky to put, like, both of them together, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's just definitely something to keep an eye on, because that's just flat out insane. Like, the best wide receivers in the NFL are not getting that many targets.
No, that's a bonkers number. I'm actually shocked that it was that high.
Because I saw the 14 when he came in, and I was like, I want some of that. Let's see what it looks like. And then they, like, bumped that up even more. So I'm like, how? Like, And that's the game Antonio Gibson goes for two touchdowns in, and he's throwing 15 passes to the backup. So I really like Washington, and we'll see if they let me down against two bad defenses in the next couple weeks. But you guys, I'm putting you on game right now, so like pay attention to them.
Yes.
It would only be a short fix for DFS. Like don't bet your season long on Alex Smith or anything like that. But mostly DFS based.
Yeah, this week's matchup and next week's matchup are really favorable. I'm in favor of, you know, apologies to Blogging the Boys and RJ Ochoa. Yeah. But I'm on board with starting anybody who's playing against the Cowboys defense here for the next few weeks.
Yeah. And then only two over-unders I kind of wanted to look at, which for Davante Adams, 7.5 receptions now that they're at full strength out wide. In his last couple games, he's got 8, 10, 7, and 13 in his last four times out. So what do we think about his receptions as far? And he's also had 7 touchdowns in that span. So
7.5 is kind of high. I'm going to take the under. Yeah.
You think he doesn't get as many looks, or just think the Colts defense more?
I think the Colts secondary is going to limit they're just going to limit his opportunities. You know, I could see 6 or 7 receptions, but 7.5 going over that. That's going to be a lot. Just their secondary is very good.
I think I want to go the over just because he's been 8 or higher in 3 of the last 4. But, you know, when you count on them most, they usually let you down. But I think his ownership will take a little drop now they have like a big target opposite him and Lazard. But I think he can keep up the momentum. And then my guy Alex Smith, can he get over 1.5 passing touchdowns? Can he go for 2 against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Against the Bengals, and now that he's got, you know, a little bit of time back on the field under his belt, I think yes. And I hope that he throws them both to Terry McLaurin so that I can get those DFS points.
I'm just saying, it's the over for me as well. I can't look at those like 300 plus yards approaching 400 back to back weeks and think, oh, he's going to go up against another below average defense and not throw at least one.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he did not play for a long time. It would take a while to get comfortable out there again. I have to feel like with as many yards as he's putting up, he's starting to hit a stride again. And so I think, yes, the over, I feel really comfortable with that one.
He's getting those first team snaps back up now. So I think with time, he's going to continue to improve.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's get into these hits and misses. Like I talked about before, that Washington stack worked out well for me, getting those low-owned guys. Really, a touchdown or two really could have set me over the top, and they're getting right in there. And then McKissick got one gimme on like 1 or 2 yard, and then Gibson got like 2 inside the goal line. One of those times, if he gets Alex Smith, I think that could turn things around. And then DJ Moore has slid a little bit. He was 5,100 on DraftKings, and he was like $100 or $200 more expensive than Curtis Samuel. I immediately jumped on that one. He exploded and got his touchdown. Five or so receptions, I think 96 yards in the score. So yeah, he bounced back. And then I keep missing on these wide receivers and quarterbacks in these like terrible games. I picked like another tornado game with the Texans and Browns. So I had Will Fuller, who had been playing really well, and the Browns now in like 2 of the last 3 weeks have just been in these crazy conditions where none of the offenses are really going like that. So he was in my whole lineup that I played, and for week 10, he's the only person who didn't go over 10 fantasy points for me. So I had a solid week where he came in at like 8.8 or something like that, which it wasn't the worst, but I was expecting a lot more from against the Browns, who have been one of the worst pass defenses.
Let's see. Last week, my biggest miss was forgetting to set up our our DraftKings contest. I was on vacation last week. I drove back. It was a 12-hour drive on Saturday. On Sunday, my brain was just not really functioning. So, yeah. So, sorry about that. And we will remedy that this week. And so, I didn't really have any hits or misses last week because I didn't play DFS. But I did have a sleeper for this week, and it is Hayden Hurst. The Saints are averaging, I think, giving up like 9 points to opposing tight ends. Hurst has really come along in terms of his chemistry and his timing with Matt Ryan. And so he's my sleeper for this week. I don't really like to pick Falcons players because I'm often disappointed. But in this case, I actually do feel pretty confident about Hurst and his potential to score against the Saints this week.
Yeah. Do you have a lock for this one as well? Or
You know, the lock that I'm looking at again this week is Terry McLaurin. I think that Alex Smith getting back into the rhythm of being the starting quarterback and all of that, I think that just stands to create more opportunities for McLaurin to put up points. So he's going to be my lock of the week now and like probably for the foreseeable future because he has been great for me over the past few weeks.
Yeah. And I'll see about whether I want to come back to him for week 12. But Alex Smith, I'm going to say at 5,300 against the Bengals is going to be my lock of the week. I think he can, if he just finds the end zone a couple times, he's going to return a ton of value at that price point. And then maybe not necessarily a sleeper, but just flying a little bit underneath the radar, maybe Jacoby Myers for the Patriots has had four straight games of double-digit fantasy points. And in that game against the Ravens, where N'Keal Harry didn't even get targeted once in his return, Jacoby Myers still led him in receptions and receiving yards, the Patriots, for a fourth straight game. And at 4,900 against the Texans. So I like that matchup there, even though the Patriots do have one of the worst passing offenses in the NFL right now. But when they do throw the ball, they like Jacoby Myers. So I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, it has been really interesting to see him emerge as the number one option. And like you said, I mean, N'Keal's been hurt, which has been part of the issue. But yeah, I think that he is a very, very good option.
Yeah. And then before we talk about some of the interesting sports betting lines, just want to run through just a couple interesting waiver wire targets that you might want to look into. Like we talked about the Packers-Colts game. The Colts have had one of the more interesting like running back situations in the NFL because when Marlon Mack went down, everyone thought Jonathan Taylor was going to be a star. And then Jordan Willis came out of nowhere and was randomly leading them in touches. And then Nyheim Hines in his last 3 weeks has two multi-touchdown games coming off his last performance. And he has like a solid floor just from PPR standpoint. He continued to earn himself some more touches just in and around the goal line area. And I think as they like split it between those three guys, I think the guy who's going to have the higher ceiling of those ones is Hines. So when it's so hard to guess on the Colts, because T.Y. Hilton has completely like fallen off the face of the earth. So,
which I am still stunned by. But yeah. Yeah. And I did want to mention Fooch, our friend, your editor at DK Nation. He decided to bet the Falcons money line. And so I'm curious your thoughts on that. Yeah. Kind of touched on it early in the show, but
For me, it comes down to Kamara, really. Mm-hmm. If there's no Kamara, I think I give the Falcons a solid chance to win that game.
Yeah.
I like them. And I like them in that matchup. But yeah, just to touch on some of the other bigger ones that people are looking at, surprisingly enough, the Chargers are some of the biggest favorites coming up this week, where they haven't played in a less than a one score game this entire season, but they are favored by 9.5 points against the winless Jets so far. Which when I was looking at just like the point spread bets, it was pretty close to 50-50 as far as the handle on those, but it's jumped a little bit in the Chargers' favor. In the Chargers' favor since yesterday, and yeah, I think with Justin Herbert's kind of the passing attack that he's had, and he's been able to just pretty much get pretty close to 300 just week to week in Keenan Allen. I think they get the job done. with, you know, lowest scoring team.
Yeah.
In the NFL. I don't think they're even as much as they have struggled on defense at times, I think they get the job done there just fine.
Yeah. I mean, Joey Bosa is back from a concussion. And I think that that just in and of itself is going to make a difference for the Chargers. As a Falcons fan, I really feel for Chargers fans because I feel like the Chargers are the Falcons of the AFC East. They're always blowing these leads. If there's one team that I feel confident that both the Falcons and the Chargers could beat without blowing a lead, it's the 2020 Jets. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about that one, too. The Dolphins, I don't know how recent this is, but -3.5 at Broncos is kind of an interesting one to me because the Dolphins have been good since Tua's taken over. He's been very impressive. So that one was interesting to me.
I think, yeah, I could easily see how the Dolphins should be favored by a little bit more there, especially given what they've been able to do is like making just huge plays on defense. Mm-hmm. Lately, so they don't have any slouches really at that cornerback position with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. Just maybe they're not like on the top of the world like a person like Jalen Ramsey's like super high in the spotlight. But mm-hmm. yeah, at times they played really well against wide receivers, and then that's where the Broncos have been pretty beat up without Courtland Sutton. It seems like week to week,
week to week,
Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick and a lot of those guys are just like, you know, they're limited in practice all week, and then they come to game day, they end up playing.
Yeah.
Just a couple other waiver wire people you guys might want to talk about. Just running backs. There have been a lot of interesting running backs to kind of worth keeping an eye on. So Wayne Gallman, which I'm sure his rostership has gone up by a significant margin, but he's not doing like crazy as far as like racking up yards, but he is reaching the end zone really consistently for a Giants team that's really struggled running the ball, which Daniel Jones was leading their way running the ball. And he even had like another 30 yard score. But yeah, Wayne Gallman scored 2 touchdowns in his last game, scored a touchdown in each of his last 3 games before that. So I think he's going to continue to get that goal line work. And then another one was just like the Dolphins running back situation where they had Jordan Howard, who was my sleeper that 1 week. And he had like the 19 yards on 10 carries, and then they released him and they brought in Salvon Ahmed, the rookie, who got 20 plus touches and ran for like around 90 yards and a score. So if you're in those like deeper leagues, which now Matt Breida is supposed to be coming back, but Salvon Ahmed could be like in those like deep leagues if you don't think a lot of viable options are available at running back. That I'm really struggling at running back, and there's it's tough. I don't even think he's even on the board in my league, but maybe in some of yours he could be. So maybe take a look at him if he's going to be that workhorse guy, and if he can get close to like 15 touches again, like before Myles Gaskin comes back and takes all the work away.
Yeah, all of my season-long leagues are pretty deep leagues, and my starting quarterbacks in each of those were some mix of Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey here and there. Yeah. And so it has been the worst year for running backs. So Gallman is a guy that I was able to grab off of waivers. Did not really have high hopes when I grabbed him, which was several weeks ago. But yeah, I've been obviously happy the past few weeks.
I'm still trying to think of who was supposed to be in the doghouse this week.
I'm just putting myself in the doghouse for forgetting to set up our DFS contest. That makes my doghouse really, really easy. And I'm putting my dogs in the doghouse for being so loud while we're recording.
I think I'm going to go with Derek Carr because, you know, he had arguably one of the best games of his career last time he faced the Chiefs. Now he's at home. Like, get over. I don't even think I said 200 earlier in the show. I think his high in the last 3 weeks is 165 passing yards, which it does. I'll cut on some slack for that Browns game, but he's got to get over that if he wants to keep up with arguably most talented offense in the NFL. So
yeah,
it's definitely on him. He can't depend on Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker to combine for 4 touchdowns again, like they did against the Broncos that last time out. So he's definitely going to have to step up in a big way, try and connect with Darren Waller, who's by a wide margin behind Travis Kelce as far as like the second best fantasy option at tight end. Derek Carr has got to step it up. I'm sure a lot of people will not be too high on him coming into this week. But yeah, he's in the doghouse for me.
That works. I know that our Raiders over at Silver and Black Pride, our Raider site, I know that they agree with you. Derek Carr has been in their doghouse for a couple of years. So yeah, you're just catching up with Raiders fans now. Well, folks, that is our show for this week. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And you can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas, at J-E-A-N-N-A Thomas. And I will set up our DFS league this week. And so look for that, join it, play along with us, and let us take your money.
Yeah. And you can find me at _Ameerkle, AmeerkleI-C-L-E. I'll make my return to the weekly daily fantasy league. I'm going to be loading up on my Washington guys. So if you guys want to join me on that and take the risk, I will not make my strategy a secret because I love my Washington football team. But yeah, make sure to subscribe and leave that 5-star review. And thank you for joining us, guys.